Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. As someone who works in the pet industry, I am often asked about starting a pet business, how to go about it, what are some of the resources out there that you can use, and I talk to people a lot about different types of pet business. I am certainly not an expert, so I wanted to reach out to an expert. Today, I'm talking to Kristen Morrison. She is the founder of the Six Figure Pet Business Academy. Since 2000, so for the last 20 years, Kristen has provided pet business coaching for thousands of people, from pet sitters to dog walkers, dog trainers, other service-based pet business owners from across the U.S., Canada, Australia, and the UK. So basically, she went from wishing that she could get paid to work with dogs, walking dogs, to launching a million-dollar pet business. She has been featured in Market Watch, the New York Post. She even did a TV interview with Yahoo Finance. And now she shares her business insights with thousands of clients through books. She has online courses. She has her own podcast as well, which you can check out. It's called Prosperous Pet Business. She's authored 5 different books. So she is just a wealth of knowledge about everything to do with starting a pet business. And today I asked her some questions to pick her brain a little bit. Hopefully this will answer some of the questions that you guys have. If there are other questions that you have, or if there's more information that you'd like on a different topic for another podcast, jump on our website. It's theoryofpets.com. You can leave comments, questions, suggestions for future topics on there. And if you have any questions for Kristen, feel free to reach out. I can pass those along to her as well.
So I am Kristen Morrison, and I am the founder of Six Figure Pet Business Academy and Six Figure Pet Sitting Academy. And I started my business in 1995, so many, many years ago. I became a dog walker and then added the pet sitting service to my business. And I experienced a lot of challenges early on because I hadn't taken any business courses. I didn't really know what I was doing. And so a lot in the beginning for me was really trial and error. But I had my business for 18 years and ended up hiring about 250 people in the course of running my business. And when I sold it a few years ago, I had 35 staff members and 4 managers. So I really took it from a thought to this fairly large business, and I'm just excited to share with your listeners about, you know, my experience today.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, you know, I have a lot of audience members, both from the podcast and from our website, Top Dog Tips, who ask questions about pet businesses. And it's everything from grooming and training to dog walking and pet sitting. There are tons of businesses popping up in the pet industry now. Why do you think you've seen such a boom in pet businesses?
You know, I think the boom is there for a couple reasons. What I'm witnessing, when I started my business, I realized that what had happened is, it's kind of a sad reason in a way, but there's been a bit of a breakdown in terms of society, where people used to really depend on their neighbors and their family lived close by. And so often those were the people that would take care of pets. And in terms of pet sitting and dog walking. And then as people got more and more disconnected, I realized they began hiring for that service instead of asking their friends and family and neighbors for that help. Now, that being a sad reason, what has been a happy experience that I'm noticing is that a lot of dogs and cats are really having their day in the world. You know, they're really getting the love and attention that they deserve. And so that is causing a lot of these niche markets in terms of different pet business providers to open up and have the ability to be able to provide the care that people are needing for their pets. which are often like their family members. And that was not the case. You know, you look back 25, 30 years ago, there were maybe a few people that felt that way about their animals, but today many, many people do. So the tide has really shifted in terms of how people view animals today.
And with that being said, how do you, as a business owner, stand out from the crowd? Because people are seeing their pets more as family members, so they're really doing their research. They're not just finding a dog walker in their neighborhood or somebody local. They're looking for somebody that is going to stand out, that's really going to give their pet that love and attention that they wish they were able to give themselves while they're away.
Yeah, so there are a few ways to really stand out. One of them is reviews. You know, the more reviews you have, the more likely it is that you'll be able to grow your business as big as you want it to be. And it can be really uncomfortable asking for reviews, but that's often necessary. When business owners aren't regularly asking for reviews, what can happen, let's say if they have a Yelp page, is that they'll only get negative reviews, because a lot of people who are inspired to write a review often are inspired because of a negative experience. So it's up to the business owner to really go after those positive reviews, and it requires stepping through the discomfort of asking for what you want, you know? And the thing is, when I'm coaching pet business owners around this, I'm really encouraging them not to ask their clients for a lot of things all at once, but rather, like, don't ask them for Nextdoor reviews, Yelp reviews, Google reviews, you know, all at once. Just ask for one particular review that you'd like. And then maybe 6 months later, you can ask them for a different review. So that's one way to really stand out, is, you know, to begin to collect really positive reviews, because a lot of people do trust reviews. You know, they look at those stars and the number of stars, and if there are many stars, they go, okay, you know, it doesn't mean they're not going to try to vet you as a pet business owner when they call you on the phone or email you, but it means that you've at least gotten some of their trust right away in order to make that call. The other thing about standing out is a lot of pet business owners don't put time, money, and attention on their website. And that is so important these days. It really is, you know, in addition to reviews, how pet owners are going to be finding you is your website. And so if your website is professional, if it looks great, design-wise, that's going to make a difference. You know, we are judged by the clothes we wear, unfortunately. I wish that wasn't true, but a lot of people do judge us that way. And a website is like clothes for your business. So it's important to have a really professional, nice-looking website. And the two most important pages on a site are the homepage and the About Us page. So in newspaper terms, they call it above the fold, which means before you have to scroll down, what are people seeing, you know, at the very top? That's the most important part of your homepage in terms of the information that you're providing there. So you want to make sure that it looks good, it's got some information at least about what you provide and the services that you're offering. And then on the About Us page, you want to have really warm writing, you know, that begins to instill trust in you by the pet owners who are looking at your site. They go to the About Us page when they're looking for services because they want to know who's going to be helping me here. And you want to have a picture of you on the About Us page. A lot of pet business owners may have a picture, but maybe they're hiding behind sunglasses, or even a dog is kind of halfway in front of their face. I recommend that, you know, it's great if you have a pet with you, but keep them away from your face so that people can really see you and look into the camera's eyes, because, you know, it matters. People want to be able to see, who is this person who's going to be helping me?
Absolutely. And let's talk about what to do if you're starting a pet business. So let's say, I guess it doesn't really matter if you're pet sitting, dog walking, training, you've got a few clients, people that you've worked with. Maybe you have your website already, you have, you know, that handful of reviews, but it's, that seems to be easy for people to get started with those first few people. They're people that you know, friends, maybe family, neighbors. But then how do you take that leap and go from just sort of a hobby to make a little extra money into a full-fledged business venture?
I really like that question because it is often easy to begin to get your first handful of clients, and then it can be like, but how do I take it further? So, you know, a lot of it involves marketing. So if you haven't done search engine optimization for your website, that's going to be something you're going to want to do. It's going to help you come up higher on the search engines when prospective clients are searching for your city, you know, and pet sitting, your city, and grooming if you're a pet groomer. So you really want to get high on SEO. And I mean, there are some very simple things you can do, like to make sure that the services that you provide are listed on the homepage. You know, some people don't even have that. You want to clearly state too on your homepage, in your business name preferably, or at least above the fold before people have to scroll, and list what you do so that when people are finding you online, they know right away. The attention span of people these days is very small, so you want to be able to really address what you do so that people know that you're somebody that's providing a service that they actually need. I really recommend getting on Nextdoor.com. It's not in every country if you have listeners from all over the world, but it is all over the U.S., or at least most cities in the U.S. now, and that can be a fantastic way to get clients. People really trust Nextdoor. It's a website, Nextdoor.com, for those of you that don't know. And in the same vein of asking for Yelp reviews and Google reviews, I recommend asking for Nextdoor reviews, and they're called recommendations on Nextdoor. So you want to be sure to list your business there, and you can ask your clients to, you know, write a little recommendation. They can also post something like, I've got a great pet sitter that I want to share with you. You know, here's her information. That can be incredibly powerful. And I've actually worked with people who have taken that action step and done it, and then a week later have had like 10 new clients as a result of just simply asking their clients to post about them on Nextdoor. And that was just in a week, you know, of doing that. So it can really pay off. Also, cultivating relationships with local pet business owners, like if you're a pet sitter approaching pet groomers, you know, and if you're a pet groomer approaching pet sitters, and talking about exchanging referrals. You know, they've got a client base that you may be able to tap into. So however you can keep it simple for yourself and do a specific marketing action that ends up resulting in a lot of clients, that's the ideal marketing. That's why SEO is so powerful. You know, you take one action by getting your website search engine optimized, and it has this ripple effect of really reaching a lot of people. So, again, if you're a pet sitter or dog walker, going to pet groomers, going to vets, going to local pet stores, and asking them if they would be willing to, you know, have your cards on display or on their bulletin board. And when you're asking for these things, I recommend that you are also offering something. So it's not just like you're taking something or asking for something, but you're giving something. So one thing you might want to give is having a pet resources page on your site for pet owners, and you can tell that pet business owner that you'll be putting them on their on your site if that's something that they would like to have done. So also pet-friendly apartment buildings can be a fantastic way to reach a lot of people, you know, with just minimal energy, right? You're placing an ad, you know, perhaps with the building manager where they're sending out an email about you or creating a strategic partnership with that particular pet-friendly apartment building where you give 10% off, you know, your first invoice and for tenants who live there. That can be a great way to really tap in quickly and get a lot of clients.
Those are wonderful tips. I love, you know, working with other business owners. And like you said, when you're offering something as well, it's a win-win. So they're more likely to pick that up. And of course, they're working in the same niche that you are. So, you know, all of their clients are going to be people that potentially could use your service. So that's a fantastic tip. And what about one thing that you didn't mention was social media, and you did talk about Nextdoor a little bit, but what about, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? We hear so much about that when it comes to marketing. Do you recommend
that
people
use that? It is crucial.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's absolutely crucial in this day and age. And, you know, I know that a lot of pet business owners, I have a little bit of a cold that I'm still grappling with here a little bit.
Oh, no, it's the season.
But a lot of pet business owners, you know, get very busy in terms of their schedule, and they look at social media as, oh, yet another thing that they have to do. But whatever you can do to make it fun and easy. So fun might be finding some great pictures of your client's pets and, you know, asking your clients for permission to post. You always want to do that. But also doing it at a specific time every week. So maybe Mondays at 3 p.m., you spend 30 minutes, you know, posting and getting really clear in terms of Instagram and what hashtags are going to benefit you the most. So let's say you live in Nashville, Tennessee. So you might want to look at adding different hashtags like Nashville Pets or Nashville Pet Sitting. You know, really beginning to look and see what hashtags have the most people, you know, posting them. And that can be kind of a way in through the back door to get clients where they look at the hashtags and they go, oh, this is a Nashville Pet Sitter. You know, so get really friendly with the social media sites. Get to know them. Get to know what works and doesn't. If you don't know what you're doing, hire an expert. You know, having a Facebook marketing expert can be great. So it's not just you posting, but, you know, you're having somebody help you actually attract your right audience. You know, if you want dog walking clients in a specific area, Facebook ads can be incredibly powerful to help that happen in a very easy way. It can be expensive, but, you know, when you look at, well, how much does a client generate over a year, then that cost can seem low compared to the return on investment.
For sure. Talk to me a little bit about the hardest part or the hardest parts of starting your business. What did you find to be the most challenging?
It was really time management, because I felt like my energy was in so many places when I started. You have to wear a lot of hats when you're starting a business. Yes, you can definitely delegate, but for a lot of people that are starting a business, they perhaps don't have the resources, financial resources, to delegate as much as they would like to. And so it can often result in you as the new business owner having to do a lot. And I really equate it like you've just given birth to an infant, and that infant is going to require a lot of time and attention. You know, are you willing to give it that? Down the road, you can begin to step away more and more, and that's what I did. You know, I went from working 7 days a week to really looking at, wow, I want to have more of a healthy work-life balance. How can I create that? And I began, you know, I went from working 7 days a week to working 3 days a week in the space of a year, and then eventually 2 days a week. And that was through hiring great people, but I could not do that right away. So, you know, really getting good at to-do lists is really important. Like, you know, and I recommend starting a to-do list in the evening for the next day. Your head's going to be clearer. You know, when we kind of wake up in the morning, it can be hard to know where do we put our attention. So writing that list the night before, when you're looking ahead, can be much easier, and you can be much more intentional and clear about it than perhaps you might be, you know, writing it first thing in the morning. So, you know, balancing your time. And, you know, as much as social media can be a great thing in terms of really helping the business, if you get sucked into social media, it can also be the rabbit hole that keeps you from really focusing on the income-producing activities that you need to do to grow your business. So I recommend really tracking, you know, how much time you're spending on social media, especially if you do get to be one of those people that tends to be, you know, kind of going down the rabbit hole, and where, you know, hours go by and you've just been online and not really productive. So it's going to be important to really be intentional about where your time and energy and money, where they're all going.
Great tips. And what are the best parts or the most rewarding parts of owning your own business?
Oh my gosh. Well, the freedom that you have as a self-employed business owner is just, there's nothing like it. It is, for me anyway, it's been incredibly liberating. I started my business in my early 20s, and I realized that, wow, I really am meant to be a business owner, and I could see that right away, because, you know, I didn't really like following directions from other people. I really like to pave my own way, and so having that freedom to be able to do that and to create a schedule that really worked for me and to take on clients that really worked for me was just so liberating and wonderful. Not to mention, you know, getting to be around pets, that's something, you know, to get all this unconditional love and to actually get paid for it. And if you are a dog walker or a pet sitter who has to walk dogs, then you're getting paid also to exercise, which is incredible, right? There's so many benefits. And I've really found that, you know, any of the negatives, like having a lot of, you know, having to wear a lot of hats and, you know, challenging clients, like all of that kind of pales in comparison to getting to have the freedom to create the business and the life that, you know, you want as an individual. It's powerful.
For sure. And of course, and this is what I always tell people when they ask the best parts of my job, you get to hang out with animals all day long. If that's your passion, there's nothing better.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, also, there's a cap if you're an employee. There tends to be a cap in terms of income potential. But when you're a business owner, the sky really is the limit. You know, you can hire people. You know, you as an individual can only help so many clients, right? But you can also hire people and then, you know, expand your income earning. And so I just found on so many levels, it has been such a gift to be self-employed.
So what would your piece of advice be to somebody who's sitting, listening to the podcast right now, and they've been thinking about starting a business? They love dogs, pets, everything about it, but they just can't make the leap yet. What would your advice be?
So my advice would be to reach out to friends and family and neighbors and see if you could just explore walking dogs or pet sitting, or perhaps you can look at getting a part-time job, you know, for whatever pet venture you're interested in. If it's grooming, you could, you know, help wash dogs and kind of see how the groomer works, you know. Rather than diving in, I worked for somebody for 3 months before I started my business, and that really gave me the ability to see if it was even something I wanted to do as a business. Also, if you have a full-time job, I really recommend that you don't make the leap to just letting that go, starting a business, Because again, looking at if a business is like an infant, you're depending on that infant to support you financially, and that is not a good business move. You know, you really either want to have a good financial nest egg that you can draw upon while you're starting your business, or perhaps go down from full-time to part-time, you know, as your business begins to grow. So that's some of the advice that I have. If you're thinking about starting, just explore it. See if it really is something that you want to do.
I agree. One of the things that people sometimes don't think about when they're getting into their own business is how much work it is to get off the ground. There are a lot of benefits, yes, and it's a really wonderful thing, but it's also not an easy thing. So I agree. Exploring, check it out, look into it, do your research and educate yourself, mm-hmm, to make sure you know just what you're getting into.
Exactly. Yep. It'll help in the long run.
For sure. Kristen, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you being a guest on the podcast. And I know we could talk about this all day, and there are so many topics that you're such a great resource for. I would love to have you back on as a guest another time to maybe look at the flip side of things and talk about what people should be looking for when they're hiring pet sitters and dog walkers. Maybe some more details about the business. Like you had mentioned that you went from working 7 days to 3 days a week. So some, yep, great resources, and you're just really full of great information. So I'd love to have you back, but thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. And I would love to come back. That would be fun.
I have to give a big shout out to Kristen and a thank you for being here. It was wonderful to hear all of her great advice from somebody who's been there and walked in those shoes. As I said, if you guys have any other questions, comments, if you have a suggestion for a future podcast or something that you would like to hear from Kristen in the future, I'd love to have her back on as a guest. So shoot me any of those suggestions on our website, theoryofpets.com. While you're on there, if you could take just a quick minute to leave a review, that really helps me when I'm reaching out to experts like Kristen to show them that you guys are out there, you're listening, and you want to hear more. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I will be back with another hot topic very soon.